There was for this evening's meditation. Let's turn with God's help and read from the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Ljubo znam želim da se nađe Filipljanima druga glava, da se pročita prvi 18 brojeva. The first 18 verses I desire to read with God's help. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. God bless our reading this evening. Let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. The 12th verse here is a hymn that we remember from the Sunday school days in the children's hymnal. A hymn that repeats the words that the Apostle Paul has written here of working out our salvation. Working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And dear ones, as we consider that exhortation to obedience, we know that the Apostle Paul has to bring forth and lay a principle by which a Christian is never just, or one is never just given a law and told, okay, follow this. And that's what it means to be a Christian. No, what we have to do is we see who Christ is. Paul lays out who Christ is. And we have to now esteem Christ. We have to recognize what he has done for us and love him and want to serve him. And then in that, we embrace the law. So it's not just merely, it's the process of being born again. And when we think of the fear and trembling, this isn't the manner in which we would think that we need to just be in fear and trembling, because Paul said about himself when he set out to go preach in Corinth. This was a city that was utterly sinful, and he said that I was in much fear and trembling as he sought to evangelize that sin city. sin-filled city. He says, I was in great fear and trembling. What was he in great fear and trembling about? Was he afraid of being beaten? No, he'd already been beaten. Was he afraid of being imprisoned? He'd already been imprisoned. He'd already been beaten to an inch of his life. His fear and his trembling was that he would go into the city and that he would fall short. In laying out who Jesus Christ is and showing the example of Christ. And so he lays before us out Christ. And he tells us that there's any consolation in Christ. And Jesus Christ said to, woe unto those who are rich, for they have found their consolation. So at the expense of joy, of an inner joy that is found in Christ, they have found that comfort in those things which are temporal. And so if our hearts are set on temporal things, on temporal joys, that our consolations would be in those things that we feel we have it made and so on, in the things of this life, that's our consolation. We've received it, but he says, woe unto you. And he says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. He's encouraging this church here that they would be like-minded, to have the same love, to be of one accord, to be of one mind. That nothing will be done through strife or vainglory. Dear ones, we don't need to spend much time on this and trying to determine what this means. But Apostle Paul is saying that his joy would be complete if he sees the church that he has established through the Word of God, that they would be like-minded, not just doing the same thing, but being having of the same mind and the same love. When Jesus Christ is the center, and we are all focused in our consolation and our comfort of love is in Christ, then his joy has been fulfilled. And being of one accord and of one mind. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. What does it really mean to esteem someone better than themselves? Does it mean that if I know I can do something and I can do it well, does that mean now that I would esteem that you can do something better than I can, even though you can't? That's just hypocrisy. That's not being honest. But to esteem someone better than themselves would be something more along, let's just say that I am an architect. And I have designed the most beautiful structure, and I know it is the most beautiful structure. But if someone else had designed that structure, I would look at it the exact same way. And I would take a joy or delight in that structure the same way as if I had designed it. So being lowly of mind, dear ones, and to esteem someone better than themselves is not to take anything as a credit or as a pointing of to myself, but to esteem someone else higher. Strife and vainglory, what strife does is it puts someone else down. Vainglory is lifts itself up, lifts oneself up. And so in esteeming someone higher than myself, I am being lowly in mind, not seeking the vainglory that lifts myself up and puts someone else down. But no, our delight is in the Lord. And he says, look not every man on his own things. He's laying out a principle here for us, dear ones, of how we can work out our own salvation. And we say, well, how can we work out our own salvation? Isn't salvation a free gift? Absolutely, it is a gift. It is a gift that is given unto us. But in that gift, we find that we need to work out that gift. It's like receiving a it's like receiving a cave of gold, and you have to extract that gold. So salvation is a gift that is given unto us that we have to work out. In other words, we have to take the principles that Christ has laid out, embrace those principles, and live them. That is working out our salvation with fear and trembling, lest, as the Apostle Paul felt, lest I would fall short, lest I would be fall short in shining, as the brother prayed in the prayers, the city that is set on the hill is even as we have read, that our lights would shine in the world, that I would fall short of that. I would be in fear and trembling that my light doesn't shine as Christ had directed and given me his light that I would shine. And so he says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We live in a world that doesn't understand this at all. Isn't it a common expression? I got the short end of the stick. I got the short end of the stick. I took the loss. Someone else got the better deal. He's saying here, be happy. Be happy when someone gets the better deal. Don't look at it as I got the short end of the stick. In whatever it is in that expression that we might even think to use. Don't ever think that, because to have a mind of Christ, we would never think, I got the short end. We would never think that way. I look not on my own things, but on the things of others. That doesn't mean to want that what others have, but to look that they would have the better end of the stick, so to speak. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he was God. And he did not think it was robbery to be equal with God. He did not think it was robbery to claim to be God. He was God. But he says he took on, he made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself. That doesn't mean that he emptied himself of his deity. To say that would be, a heretic would say that. But he says that he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Not a slave. He wasn't a slave to anyone. He was a bondservant. He was a bondservant. And that's what Apostle Paul calls us to be, bondservants to God. Not slaves to anyone, but a bondservant to God. And he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God didn't leave him on the cross. No, he says here, God then highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And it is at this name, at the name of Jesus, that every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. You won't find this in the world. The world doesn't seek to bow before anyone. The world doesn't seek to call upon a God, but they put their full trust and reliance upon themselves. It says that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Dear ones, he begins his exhortation then of obedience. To who? To this mind of Christ that we have read. That we would have this mind which was in Christ Jesus also. So, my beloved, he says, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. There's nothing we can do. So the work that we can do, to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, that is given unto us. The will to extract and of his goodness into in this salvation, to be a part of it, comes from him. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. We know that the children of Israel had murmured continually against Moses and against God, and they were slain in the wilderness. Murmuring, dear ones, is something that we, I believe, can fall into very easily and do and have and continue to murmur continually. If we have the mind of Christ, we won't murmur. We won't complain. He says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. We claim, brothers and sisters, to be the sons and the daughters of God. But to be the sons and daughters of God without rebuke, we must be blameless and harmless. Is there anyone that fears us, that doesn't want to face our wrath, that avoids us because they don't want to get a piece of what I would give them, and so on? Can we call upon the name of Jesus and call ourselves a Christian if someone is afraid of us in some way? Be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Dear ones, we know that Jesus Christ himself says that the world loves darkness. And everything that is darkness is always evil. And everything that is light is always good. And Jesus says men love darkness rather than light. But the light of Jesus Christ that shines into this world is something that is a light that can be there's no other light, there's no other form of light that can dispel evil, darkness from our being. It is only Jesus Christ. And then he, as Apostle Paul here, knows very well the sayings of Jesus. He now says that we also would shine as lights in the world, so that Jesus Christ would be the one to illuminate us. How can we claim? There's nothing probably more that an unbeliever would like than a Christian to tell him, to point him to his faith, and yet that unbeliever to find some shortcomings in our life. If I can try to point someone to Christ, and they can say, and they might not even tell me, but they could see my reactions to perhaps being as we read even earlier of some kind of strife that is in me. And I want to talk about a way that is above his way. And he would just simply look and say, well, Jesus didn't change him, so Jesus must not be able to change anyone. When we speak of Christ, we have to speak of one who has changed me. I can't point someone to Christ unless I show that what Christ has done in me. And so he says, you have to be blameless. You have to be blameless. Yes, that's what it said. Don't Don't, dear ones, what the mistakes we often make is we try to interpret that differently. Yeah, but it doesn't mean be blameless. Yes, he wouldn't say be blameless if it didn't mean be blameless. It means to be blameless. It means to be harmless. It means I never think that I've taken the short end. It means I've never felt like I've taken the short end and someone else has more than me and undeservedly and so on. No, there's no murmurings. There's no disputings. There's no strife. There's no vain glory. There's no putting someone down. There's no lifting self up. Christ changed me. That's who I used to be, but that's not who I am anymore. Christ changed me. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ also. How then can I allow my mind to roam so freely through the riches of this world, through the temporal things that this world provides and everything, where he says, to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And yet it's this crooked and perverse nation, the world, and the system that is so attractive to us. And this is our struggle, this is our battle, because we want those things that the world is offering. Satan, that's his realm of darkness. Men love darkness rather than light. I want to gravitate more to the things that the world is offering than what Christ offers. Christ offers me lowliness of mind. Who wants that? Well, no one does, unless we know who Christ is. And when we look at who Christ is, and when he appears in his beauty, when I see him for who he is, then I can want him. And when I want him, he will come into me. And he will transform me and make me to really be this who he has called me to be. Not in theory, but in practice. Not in this is what I'm going to call you to do, to be. This is the level I'm going to call you to, but I'm okay if you're right here. As long as you say you want to be up here, I'm okay with you rumbling around, groveling around down here. It's okay. No, that's what we want to think, because we'd rather love darkness rather than light. And how are we going to shine as lights in the world? Shine as lights in the world. Holding forth, how are we going to shine forth? Holding forth the word of life. Holding forth the word of life. Who is the word? John lays it out so beautifully and so few words in his opening to the gospel. Is in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God and the word was God. He says, hold forth the word of life. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, holding forth the word of life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Shine forth, shining as lights in the world. Through who? Through Christ. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And said that he was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. The power to become the sons of God. It says, be blameless and harmless. To be blameless and harmless, we have to have some power. The power of God. The sons of God receive this power. Receive this light. Receive this receive this power of love or comfort of love, if there's any fellowship of spirit, be like-minded, have the same love. I can't love the world and you love the Lord and we're going to be like-minded. Oh, we might agree on how to do things in the church. This is how the rules will be. This is how this will be. We're going to have our system. Everything's... Wow, what a unified church. That means nothing. That's not the unity that Christ speaks of. Be of the same mind. I can't love the world while you love Christ. If I love the world and you love Christ, I'm not of the same mind. I can't go living in my own pleasures, doing what I want, sinning, excusing my sin, regarding my sin in my heart, and then saying, wow, we are so like-minded. Hold forth the word of life. And Paul says, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul is saying this for you and me today. He said it for the church then, and the Holy Spirit took those words that he gave to the apostle to write and preserve these words for us, to direct us today. Paul labored. He took the beatings and he took it all, not for his glory. He did it for his love for the Lord and for the lost. The brother closing the prayer says that we together united our hearts and we prayed for those who are lost. Dear ones, if Paul wrote these words and we look at them and we now are running in vain and we are laboring in vain and the church of West Akron is just called a conservative church, a church of Christ, just by name, but inside of us is the world system and the love and the gravitation towards it, then Paul would say, I've run in vain with you here. I've labored in vain. There's nothing here. No, this mind has to be in this. He says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and services of your faith, I joy and rejoice with y'all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. He was ready to sacrifice everything for this church because he knows he's doing it for Christ. And that's the love that we are to have one for another. That we're ready to sacrifice everything one for another. Dear ones, the Word of God has to move us far deeper than a do this and do this and do this, or don't do this and don't do this. No, the New Testament always lays out Jesus Christ, who he is. And we then have to look at him, embrace him, and serve him. He said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of the Father. Why then have I come to do my own will? He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he became man, took on the form of a servant. Who here with that power would take on the form of a servant? With that power. But see, here's the problem. We look at power as might. No, the power was the love. The power was the love. And so he gives us that power. The power to be the sons of God. In a crooked world. In a crooked world system. That is filled with deceivings and lyings. And focus on self and pleasure and everything for me. And if Satan can deceive us into taking our thoughts off of Christ for some of the day, he's good. Because he's made inroads. He did that with Eve. He caused her to think about what she's missing. And what she was missing was death. And she got it. And dear ones, in the world, that's all we'll find. It's embellished. It's made to look beautiful. But in the mind of Christ is life. In his power, in his love, have that love, being of that one accord, of one mind. There's nothing done in strife. Nothing. Nothing that I would do would put you down and exalt myself. Look not every man on his own things, but on that of others. This isn't a worldly system. This is a mind of Christ. This is who he is. Who he was, who he is, and he always will be. It's who we have to be. And dear ones, we can't do it on our own. We can't even come close. We read, he gives us the will and the power. And so we just simply have to ask him that he would empty ourselves of us, that we would be his bondservants, not coming to do our will, not living here to do my will, but no, to do his will. Let this mind be in you, dear ones. It is my prayer that this evening, that as we have read these verses and contemplated on them and focused on this, that as we work out our own salvation, that we do it in fear and trembling. Fear that we would fall short. Trembling that I would go to present Christ to someone and I would fall short. That they can't see him in me. They can't see him in me. If they can't see him in me, how have I worked out my own salvation? There is none. I have to shine as a light. May God give unto us, dear ones, that desire and that strength to be the lights that he is calling us to be. Amen.